you, Pastor Phil. Good morning. So from the moment I woke up this morning, I've just been moved by the Spirit of the Lord. And I've, to be honest with you, I've cried at least a dozen times this morning already just because the Lord has touched my heart. So I'm going to try my best to get through this sermon. And I'm just grateful for those times, you know. I'm grateful that the Lord just touches your heart and reminds you that he's with you. And he opens your eyes to things that you didn't see before. Man, what an awesome personal God we have. How precious it is to have him as our Father and as our friend and our Savior. Amen. I was just blessed just a minute ago. John, I just want to say I'm encouraged by you, buddy, Jonathan. My son, I was just talking to him as the offering came around. I was like, hey, would you like to give this money to God? And he's so excited about his $3.40 or 80, 60 cents, I think it was. And he's been counting it and counting it and counting it. And he willingly just opened his entire wallet and just dumped it all in there. And I said, I promise you, God is going to honor you and bless you with more. I promise you. Just like the loaves and fishes, because he didn't understand that concept. So I just shared it with that. So you encouraged me, Jonathan. You encouraged me. You really did. So, man, I'm excited. I'm just elated this morning. I'm elated. I hope you're ready. I hope you're ready for the Word of God. Are you ready for the Word of God, the truth of the Word of God? We are in this sermon series entitled Revealed, and the idea of this entire series is that we're taking Colossians 1:15, which says that Jesus is the image of the invisible God, and how Jesus came to earth, and through Jesus, through the life and the death and the resurrection, and through his church, Jesus reveals the heart of the Father. He reveals the will of the Father. And the world gets to know who the Father is, what the heart of the Father is, the purpose of the Father, his nature, his character, his attributes, because our eyes can see Jesus. We can see the sacrifice that Jesus made. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, it also talks about this and says that Jesus is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. Your Savior, Jesus Christ, is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And so what we're doing over these last few weeks and what we're going to continue to do through Easter is look at Jesus, eyes locked on Jesus, because he reveals to us the heart of the Father. 2 weeks ago, we saw that Jesus reveals the compassion of the Father. Last week, we saw that Jesus reveals the mercy of the Father. And today, Jesus reveals the forgiveness of the Father. The forgiveness of the Father. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 24. If you have your Bibles, there's Bibles in front of you. It's always good to turn in your Bible. There's something about the written word of God or the typed word of God. There's just something so impactful when it's on paper. I don't know what it is, but there's something there. And now we're going to pick up in Luke chapter 24. And just a little bit of context so you know where we're at. Jesus has just appeared to his disciples when they're in this time of just trying to figure out everything that has just happened between his death and his resurrection. Jesus has died, this man that they had followed and they trusted and they believed was the Son of God. He's now they saw him sacrificed and arrested and sacrificed on the cross. And now he's beginning to appear to other disciples. He is risen, and now they're in this room and they are trying to figure out what is going on right now. And so Jesus appears to them on the other side of a wall. All of a sudden, he just appeared to them, and suddenly they're startled and they're frightened and they're thinking he's a spirit. And he shows them his hands, he shows them his feet, he shows them all of his scars. And then he asks for a bite to eat. I love that. Hey, guys, do you have any fish? You got any food? Can I have some food? And they give him some breakfast. And so Jesus begins to just explain to them, and he's appearing to them and explaining to them that all their time together and that everything that he has said to them up until this point was for this reason. And he begins to open their eyes and he opens their mind and he reveals to them exactly the reason why he came to earth. And that's why we're going to pick it up in verse 44. And then Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke with you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." All right, so he's saying all of Scripture is pointing to me. All of Scripture, everything that was written in the law, everything that was written by the prophets and spoken of the prophets, everything written in the Psalms, it all points to me and this reason right here. And he opens their minds. Verse 45, I love that. And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Jesus is literally revealing to them the reason why he was sent to earth in this moment. And he says to them, this is written, that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead. And here it is. And that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Amen. Amen. So in this moment, you can just see the disciples here. They're startled. They're frightened. Here's this man that they saw die, and all of a sudden, he's in their face. And he's saying that all of this had to be fulfilled. Everything that you're familiar with in the Old Testament, the law, the prophets, the Psalms, it all points to me. It all points to the cross. It all points to this moment that I would come and suffer and rise again on the third day. Why? So that repentance could be offered to the world, so that each and every person could have the forgiveness of their sins. Amen. 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 Make no mistake about it, church. Jesus came to earth to offer you forgiveness of sins. Jesus came to this earth to offer you the forgiveness of sins. Your sins, my sins, their sins were the target of his sacrifice. And so this was such a complete revelation to the disciples. This is an absolute upside down perception of what they would have known and forgiveness to be about beforehand. Because for the disciples, their understanding at this point was Old Covenant. Their understanding was the Old Testament, the law of forgiveness, where if forgiveness was something that was conditional, that if I do A, B, and C, if I check off all these boxes, then forgiveness would be mine. But there's something that is so massively different that is taking place now, that after they encounter the risen Jesus, they realized and they saw for the very first time, it was revealed to them for the very first time, that forgiveness of sins is the gift of God to the world. It is a free gift of God that he offers to the world. Boom! Mind blown, right? Absolute mind blown. That they don't have to work for this forgiveness, but it is a free gift that God offers to humanity, and it arrived through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And in that moment, that divine moment on the cross, with his blood being poured out, this is all being revealed to the disciples. It's all coming to fruition right now. It's all becoming, their minds are opened right now to see this. That moment on the cross was a divine moment where his blood was being poured out as a perfect sacrifice. And he took upon himself every sin that would ever be committed on the earth in that moment. In that moment, every sin that would ever be committed on the earth was dealt with once and for all. One time for all mankind, for every sin that would ever be committed on the face of this earth. It's mind-blowing. Hebrews 9:26 shares this with us, that he appeared once for all at the culmination of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. Hallelujah. That he appeared once for all at the culmination of the ages to do away with sin from the sacrifice of himself. You know, that's what forgiveness literally means. It means to do away with sin. The word literally means to send away, to get rid of, to put off. It means to be sending them away. At the cross, church, your sins were sent away, never to be found again. Hallelujah. What about that sin this morning? Guess what? That sin was dealt with on the cross, and it was sent away, never to be thought of again. Come on, guys. And so from God's point of view, from God's perspective, from God's side, the forgiveness is done. Forgiveness is done. As a matter of fact, it is finished. It was done once and for all. For every sin ever to be committed, for every person in the world, forgiveness is offered. All sin was dealt with on the cross. There needs to be no other sacrifice ever needed to atone for the sins of the world. Just try to wrap your head around how deplorable, how disgusting, how wretched the amount of sin that is accumulated on this earth from all of time. Try to let your head wrap around it. And now I want you to see, like white paint just being tossed on it all and covering on it all. And it's offered to you. It's offered to you. It's offered to all of humanity. That one thing, that element that created a massive chasm between us and a perfectly holy and righteous God, sinful humanity and a perfect and holy God, has been dealt with. That sin has been dealt with once and for all and to completion on the cross. Hallelujah. Please know that this is the foundation of our faith. This is the foundation of our faith. This is the joy that we proclaim. This is the good news, a declaration that my sins have been washed away. From every sin has been washed away and will never be counted again against me. That my record is clean because of what Jesus Christ has done. It's nothing that I've done. It is this beautiful, awesome gift that God has sent to us and offered to us through his sacrifice of his son. This is good news. Somebody say hallelujah. Amen. And that's what hallelujah is, right? You're boasting in praise for the goodness of God. This is the foundation of our faith. And can I tell you, if you do not believe that the sins of the world were fully dealt with at the cross, you're going to have a really hard time experiencing the forgiveness of God here and now, in this moment, in your time of sin. Ephesians 1:7 tells us, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins. It is done. In Christ, if you are in Christ, if the grace of God covers your life, the blood of Jesus covers your life. If he is your Lord and if he's your Savior, you have been redeemed by the blood of God. And every sin has been washed off of your record and you have forgiveness of sins. It's done once, it was done for all, and it was done to completion. This is the magnitude of the glory of God. It is the magnitude of his love to you through Jesus Christ. And so again, Jesus is, he's opening the mind of his disciples to see this revelation that there doesn't need to be another sacrifice. And then another sacrifice for when you sin. And then when you sin, another sacrifice. And then when you sin again, another sacrifice needs to be made. This is mind-blowing to them. How is this going to work? God, you sent Jesus to die once to deal with every sin, not only my past sin, but now my future sin, all rests upon Jesus Christ on the cross. Minds completely open, revealed. Jesus reveals the heart and the will of the Father to offer forgiveness to the world once and for all, that you would not have to continually offer sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice, but there was one perfect sacrifice that needed to be made, and it was done. Hallelujah. The Christ would have to suffer on the third day and rise from the dead. This is what Jesus said to them. And that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name. God now offers to the entire world an opportunity for forgiveness. And you recognize there that he offers them repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And so what is offered to the world in this moment is an opportunity and a chance to repent. And there's this word repentance here, and I want you to know that it's a beautiful word because it goes hand in hand with repentance, because repentance is the condition needed to receive the forgiveness of God. Repentance is the condition needed to receive the one time forgiveness of God. You with me? Repentance. And what that word repentance means simply means it's a decision that a person makes. It is a conscious decision that one person makes when your eyes gaze upon the reality of what God did for you. Is your decision in repentance means no longer am I going to be in my life of sin, but you're literally turning your back upon sin and you're turning away from rebelling against God in light of what He's done for you, and now you are moving towards God and your purposes that He has for you. That's repentance. God, I'm done with that. In light of what You have done for me, in light of Your sacrifice, in light of Your grace, in light of Your compassion, in light of Your mercy, in light of Your love, God, I cannot, will not, dare not go back to that lifestyle, and I turn towards You. What are Your purposes for my life, O God? That is repentance, a complete turn and move towards God and His lordship over your life. And so God offers the world an opportunity and a chance to repent for a one-time forgiveness. Here we go, ready? But in order for repentance to occur, there must be this conviction of sin. In order for someone to repent and turn to God, there must be a conviction of their sin. There must be a deep-seated realization that my sin is an absolute affront to a perfect and holy and righteous God. There must be a conviction of sin that takes place within me where I am completely aware of the severity of my sin and the effect that it has, not only on myself, but into this world as a whole. And it's the people that God has placed me around. There must be a deep-seated realization and conviction that it leads me to a posture of absolute humility before God. And now at that moment where you're convicted of the severity of your sin and you recognize the sacrifice and the love of God, it brings you to that humble posture before God of repentance and say, God, no longer will I go that way and live that lifestyle, but now, God, every step I take forward is a step that moves in Your direction. I choose You. I pursue You. I pursue You, oh God. And in that moment of repentance that you may or may not have ever taken, your sins in that very moment were eliminated, deleted, removed, sent away, and put away for good. And your record is now clean and clear and under control. That was a commercial, wasn't it? Clean and clear and under control. Your record is now clean and clear in the eyes of God. Your account this morning is white as snow. Because of that moment of repentance, that posture of humility before God, that recognize what He did for you and recognize that every sin, past, present, and future, were dealt with on the cross. And that forgiveness was then applied to you. The forgiveness of God, the one-time forgiveness of God. You see, without conviction of sin, we would just go on continuing to sin without any remorse for the reality of that sin. Repentance is the result of conviction, where we become starkly aware of the wretchedness of our own sin and the sacrifice that was made for us, that we offer God ourselves. We offer God ourselves. And upon that revelation, we make a decision to turn from our sinful ways, leaving it all behind and fully pursuing God's purposes. And the reason why this is so important, because if we fail to recognize the seriousness of our sin, then we will not value the forgiveness of God. If we do not recognize how serious business our sin is, we will not truly value the forgiveness of God. And what happens then is we'll be blasé about forgiveness. And we go around treating the grace of God as a license to sin. And so here you are now. The revelation of the forgiveness of God. And there has been true repentance in your life. And you said, God, no longer am I going that way. I'm now pursuing you and you alone. I'm leaving that life of sin behind and I'm pursuing you. Here you are now. You've turned away from your life of sin to pursue God's purposes. And you're completely forgiven. Your sins have been dealt with once for all and to completion. And yet, you sin. What are we supposed to do with that? How am I supposed to fit that in to this amazing, perfect, awesome truth that God has dealt with all sin once and for all? And that forgiveness was a one-time forgiveness. When I repented of my sin and I said, God, you're my God, and I turn away and I'm coming to you. How do we fit this in? What are we to do with this? If all my sins, past, present, and future sins, are forgiven and completely dealt with, what am I to do with the sin I committed this morning? What am I to do with the sin I committed last week? What am I to do with that? I'm so grateful that Scripture talks about that. I love how John the Apostle is very familiar with that. And he writes about it and he's inspired about it in John 1, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, where he says this. He understood it well and he wrote about it and he says this. And I think it'll be up there. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, when we first look at this passage, this text, and this verse, it looks like we have to do something to earn forgiveness again and again, doesn't it? If we have to confess our sins, he's faithful and just, and he will forgive us our sins. But there's something about the way that the Greek has put this word, this sentence structure together, where it's actually, and it all makes sense now when you understand what that word confess means. So if God is forgiven of our sins because of Christ's death, why must we still confess our sins? If our sin has been done away with and it's been dealt with on the cross, why must we continually confess our sins? And it all makes sense when you know what that word confess is. And if you have your Bibles open, if you have your notes, if you're taking notes, just write this down because it's essential to what we're talking about this morning and the forgiveness of God. It's essential to you not having to make a sacrifice and ask for forgiveness over and over and over and over again. Yes, I said that. Yes, I said that. Here it is. Ready? That word confess, it means to acknowledge with God. It means to agree. The Greek word there, exact, means to agree exactly with what God has already said. It means to be in alignment with what God has said. And so this is what confession means. Confession is agreeing with what God has said. And so this is what it looks like. God, yes, Lord, I have sinned. And I know this is not what you want for my life. And I know this is not what you want in my life. But God, I recognize it and I acknowledge that it is sin. And I acknowledge that it is not what you want for my life. And I agree with you that this is outside of your perfect and holy standard. I agree with you, God. But God, I also thank you for your forgiveness that covers my life. And I'm grateful for it. Be the Lord of my life again, today, now. And God, help me, for you are the only one who has the power to help me overcome this sin and to turn from it again. Folks, that is what it looks like to confess our sins. For he is faithful and he is just to have forgiven your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So when we come before God and we confess our sins, we are acknowledging the truth that it is sin and that it is against his holy perfect standard. And that in the presence of God, it's not right. And you agree with God and you say to him, God, God, I thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for what you have done in my life. You're the only one that can help me overcome it in the future. Be Lord over my life. Thank you for the blood of Christ that forgave me of that sin. Are you with me, church? Here's a helpful example, illustration. One of the responsibilities that I have in my household is to take out the trash. And I take out the trash. And so when the trash accumulates in the house, I gather it all together, right, guys? I gather the bathroom trash and the bedroom trash, and I get it all together. And every Monday and Wednesday, I gather the trash, and I bring it out to the curb. Well, one of the things that I tend to do is, especially in the wintertime, is I delay taking out the trash. Because it's cold outside, there's snow on the ground. And so what I'll do is I will go to the trash can, and I will just ram it in. Knee it in, foot, whatever. I'm getting every use out of this trash bag that I can possibly get. I get the kind where you can, like, stretch it and, like, pointy things can be stretching out and it still works, right? And you're cramming it in and you compact it. And what I'll do is I'll compact the trash further and further and further to delay taking out the trash. The reality is that many of us do this with our lives. We accumulate trash and we keep packing it down when we sin and we don't get rid of it. And we just continue to mash it down and we create room for more and more of the same trash to be accumulated in our lives. And before you know it, the stench of that garbage fills the house. You with me? My daughter just said, no. Confession is a lot like taking out the trash. Confession is a lot like taking out the trash. It is an essential part of your everyday life. It's an essential part of your everyday life where we acknowledge with God that there is sin. That the sin is there. But that you agree with God also that forgiveness is there. And with a humble and grateful heart, you ask him to help you get rid of that trash forever. That's the good news, guys. That's the forgiveness of God. It was dealt with once and for all and to completion for every sin of your life, my life, and the world's life to completion. And he offers to the world through Jesus Christ an opportunity to repent once and to truly turn away from that life of sin and to turn towards God. And in that moment of true repentance is true forgiveness is applied to your life where your sins are then put away with forever, done away with, sent off, cast off, never to be thought of again. And then you have this beautiful forgiveness that covers your life. And the next time you sin, you have this incredible, awesome relationship with God, and that he is your father, and you are his son, and you come before him as a child, and you say, God, I did this. I need you now. It's not, oh man, I sinned. Now I got to run and hide from my father. No, it's, Dad, I sinned. I need your help. Dad, I need you right now. This is good news. So we have this awesome verse. If you confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Can you see how essential and how vital confession is to your everyday life? Confession is taking out the trash so that this vessel can be a vessel that is cleaned out and it's not filled with compacted trash that you've let get in there and stay in there and have not dealt with before God. It is now a clean vessel. And you know what God does with clean vessels? He uses them for his glory. God can't use a vessel with accumulated trash in it. It's got to be a clean vessel for him to be using. Here is why confession is vital to your life. Number one, you're agreeing with God that sin is sin and that it's there and that you desire to turn from it. Secondly, it ensures that you don't conceal our sin from Him or from ourselves. You acknowledge it. It exposes the sin, the awareness, and you become aware of the danger in your life. And thirdly, it enlists the help of the power of God to overcome it in the future. This is your God, and this is the forgiveness that Jesus reveals. It is yours today. Mike, could I invite you just to come up by yourself and just play? Could you play Worthy is the Lamb? Could you play that? Thank you. Maybe you're here today and you recognize that trash has been accumulating in your own life. And that if you're honest with yourself, it is a lot like trash has been accumulated and you've kind of just been compacting it down and pushing it down and not coming to grips with it, not coming to, because you, and then you know what happens is that when you don't deal with the trash and the stench begins to fill the household, you know what begins to happen? Is that you're riddled with guilt and you're riddled with condemnation. And you don't see the sacrifice of Christ. And you forget briefly the depth and the magnitude of the sacrifice of God, that the forgiveness was dealt with, the forgiveness of that sin has been dealt with on the cross. God offered you an opportunity for repentance, and once upon a time, you truly repented and you said, God, I'm coming your way, and I'm going your way, and I'm pursuing you from this day forward. And at that moment, true forgiveness covered your life. And then, but maybe today, this morning, you recognize that there's trash that's just have accumulated in your life. And it's you've been packing it down, and now you're riddled with this guilt and condemnation. Church, never lose sight of the forgiveness that is yours. Never lose sight of the forgiveness that is yours. Take this time right now in the presence of God. Right now. And clean out that vessel. And confess it before the Lord. Maybe you just want to close your eyes right now. Just be in that personal time with the Lord, in that personal space with God. Clean out that vessel so that God can operate through you the way He longs to. Because the temptation is that when we've accumulated trash is to turn away from the benevolent nature of God. We lose sight of His grace. We lose sight of His mercy. We lose sight of His love and His compassion. And all we see is a God who wants to pour out wrath upon you. But the truth of the gospel is that your Lord and your Savior took upon that wrath upon Himself so that you don't ever have to experience the wrath of God. You are children of the living God. Never to experience that wrath because your Savior took it upon Himself on the cross. The enemy wants you to believe that you can't approach God. He wants you to believe that you have no place in the presence of God. But it's a lie. What we just shared this morning is the absolute truth. The price of your sin has been dealt with. All of your error and your sin has been dealt with on the cross. It's been forgiven. So don't stare at your navel, as they say. Don't gaze at your navel. Look up at your Father. See the salvation of God hanging on the cross. His blood being poured out for you. And in this moment, right now, humble yourself before the Lord, who is the essence of love. And agree with Him that there is sin there. And acknowledge it before Him. And just do that right now in your own personal space. God, I see that there is sin there. I recognize that it is sin. I recognize that it is not what you want in my life. I recognize that this is not what you have for my life. Lord, you desire for me to be a cleaned out vessel where your Holy Spirit can dwell and thrive inside of me. So God, in this moment, I empty out the trash. I take out the trash and I confess it before you that there is sin. And I confess and I agree with you also, God, that your forgiveness has covered my life. Your blood has washed me clean as white as snow. And that I stand before you holy and righteous and without blemish in your sight. That is what I also confess, Lord God, in this moment. And I stand before you in your eyes, in your sight, a purely forgiven child of yours. And I say thank you. And I ask you and I enlist your help in this very moment to help me overcome this sin in the future. And all of God's people together say amen. So be it, church. Would you stand with me and respond as Mike, you just lead us through this song, Worthy is the Lamb.